Many of you know that I was sick last week, and appreciate Pastor Ken and Melissa for standing in and taking that time. I heard that it was a really good week. Melissa's not really going on the mission field. That was all just concocted for you guys last week, so there was something to talk about, and she's always wanted to go, so just teasing. It's the real deal. Hope you had a happy new year. My wife is home with a headache again. So thanks, Dean. She is still trying to kind of survive, you know? I don't know if you've struggled with a chronic illness or a disability before, but at times it can get pretty tough. I don't know why that's up there already. I was ready to preach last week this sermon, and I was going to ask you what HBC stands for. Everybody knows that. It's Happy Birthday, Charlene. And I was supposed to make an announcement. Cake, however, will not be served after the service today. So we'll try to catch up here and fast forward to this week. Oh, yeah. Yes, it is. Happy birthday to me. Yeah, that's good. I hope you celebrated it this New Year's Eve night longer than this guy did. Interesting little cartoon. You can see the countdown. You know, when I saw this, I asked myself, why do we celebrate New Year? Why do we celebrate it? I mean, it's not like Christmas or Easter or, you know, the Resurrection Sunday or Thanksgiving, which all remind us to remember God's faithfulness and or his provision of salvation or giving thanks to him. Why do we celebrate New Year's? Is it because we endured the previous year? Or is it because we're celebrating the hope that hoping that the new year is going to be better? No wonder our celebrating on New Year's Eve lasts such a short time. Sometimes, as I've been contemplating what message the Spirit of God is wanting to communicate to us this morning, as I look at many of our families have actually gone through some great times of struggle. And as I look back and then as I look forward to the next year and what it might bring, my mind and my heart have been drawn to the word perseverance. And as you'll observe today, perseverance is a vital word that we can't afford to misunderstand. What I mean by that is I became fascinated with this word when a friend of mine contacted me, stationed in a non-combative nation overseas while serving in the military. Through our correspondence, I could tell that things weren't going well for him. Things were monotonous. Things were just a struggle. The peer pressure, the everything that goes along with military life. I'm sure some of you guys know what I'm talking about. I don't know what I'm talking about because I haven't been in the military, but I can imagine. He mentioned his great struggle to maintain his Christian witness and his inability to stand firm in his faith. So when I asked him, how can I be praying for you? He shot back to me, kind of a candid response, saying, pray for endurance until I get out of here. This place sucks. Just being honest with me. But what's interesting is that the word endurance or endure stood out to me. Pray that I endure. And I thought to myself, did he really understand what he was asking me to pray for? I mean, was he praying that he merely just kind of muddle through and try to get the energy and the strength just to put up with those last couple months before he got to take leave and come home? Or was he really asking me to pray that he endure in such a way that it would not only please the Father, but that it would actually glorify the Son of God? There's two different ways that you can look at the word endure. And the more I look into what the Word of God had to say about endurance and perseverance, the more I began to realize how critical it is to not only have a clear understanding of this word, but to actually assess whether or not I am presently persevering. So, what I'd like to do this morning is just introduce you to a word, and that word is perseverance. The word perseverance actually, there are substitutes that the Word of God uses for perseverance. When you read the word endure, or if you read the word steadfast or hold fast, even patience is sometimes substituted for the word perseverance. The Encarta Dictionary states that perseverance is to persist steadily in an action or belief, usually over a long period, and especially despite problems or difficulties. Hey, Tor, can you give me my water, please? Thank you. Now, this isn't a bad definition. As a matter of fact, I think it's a quite good definition. But as you'll see, when I introduce you to the Greek word for perseverance, this falls woefully short of what God expects for us to persevere. If this is the definition that you live by, then you can understand why Apple CEO Steve Jobs stated this about perseverance. He said, I'm convinced that about half of what separates the successful entrepreneurs from the non-successful ones is pure perseverance. And we know how successful Steve Jobs was in building the Apple company. To him, it was all about persevering. It was all about the ability to persist steadily in an action or belief, even when things and problems and difficulties began to surmount. Also, English writer Samuel Johnson would state about perseverance that great works are performed not by strength, but by perseverance. Interesting. And then Victor Hugo, considered one of the greatest and best-known French writers, briefly states this, that perseverance, secret of all triumphs. So even in the world's eyes, even Master Yoda has an idea or two about perseverance when he said, do or not do, there is no try. And that doesn't help very much, Yoda, so we're going to go ahead and go on past you. You know, even though Encarta's definition is good, again, it falls short. And what I'm fascinated about is that the definition of perseverance is like a three-legged stool. There's three components to the word perseverance. And the word perseverance is actually the word hupomone. And we've talked about this word before in the past. Hupomone simply means to remain under. It's a bearing up under. Patience is involved with endurance. Endurance as to things or circumstances. Now again, hupomone has three main components. Number one, it has the ability of remaining firm under tests and opposition and trials. Now think about your own life and the heartaches and the pressures that have come into your life. Hopefully not all of your life is one big trial, but what I'm talking about are those times where things just throw you off your game. You know what I mean? When you lose your job, when you lose your child, when you lose a loved one, when something unexpected happens and you wonder, there's something in the back of your mind that says, is God really there and does he really know and does he really care? During those times, oftentimes, I don't know about you, but myself, I find myself wanting to get out from underneath those times of trials. Because trials oftentimes make us feel, they're supposed to make us feel very uncomfortable. Because it does something to us. Trials oftentimes reveal that we are not in control and we hate that. So hupomone is the ability of remaining under that trial or that opposition. Number two, with patience, peace, and tranquility of mind. So not only is God asking us as his people to persevere to, when trials come into our life, to not only remain under them, but to do it with a heart that is tranquil and peaceful. And the third component is as the result of a growing hope in Christ. So hupomone, once again, has three different legs to it. It's the ability of remaining under that test or trial. It's the ability to have patience and peace while you're under in that trial and your hope is fixed on Christ. Now what I've just described to you is the perfect incubator that will conform you into the image of Christ if you'll allow it. Those are the exact ingredients that we need as God's people to be conformed into the image of Christ. But we don't like it because it's very uncomfortable. As a matter of fact, we oftentimes could get angry when things don't go our way, which is fascinating because the opposite of this word, the opposite meaning of hupomone, are words like indignation or anger or wrath. Now, many of you know about my time of my depression and when I believed that God was calling me into the ministry and I wasn't listening, and so he ended up increasing pain in my life, literally, physical pain. I had problems with my stump like I've never had before. Many of you know I have an artificial leg. At the bottom of my leg, I was wearing a hole in it that had never happened before. But I couldn't feel that because the pain in my back drowned out that other pain. I don't know if you've had excruciating pains before, but what's interesting about them is that one will usually block out the other. So when my leg was really bad, my back felt better. But when my back was really bad, my leg felt better. And during that time, many of you know that I ended up trying to get out from underneath that trial. Instead of coming to the Lord as my hope and placing my trust in him and having a heart that was filled with peace, instead, I ended up fretting and worrying and did anything I could do to get out from underneath that trial. And I made things 10 times worse than they ever had to be. You can either learn the easy way or you can learn the hard way. And I chose the hard way and it almost killed me. Because the depression that came on as a result of nothing seeming to work, nothing could get me out from underneath that uncomfortable spot. Everything had a roadblock. Every door was slammed shut. And as a result, I went into a depression. Now, the reason I bring that up is because sometimes when we're in trials, and it says the opposite of the word of perseverance or hupomone is anger, you need to understand that there's something to depression. There's a root that causes depression, and that root is anger. We get depressed because we don't have control. And something even happens within us physically that causes us to get to a point where we get our eyes off of God and we get them on the circumstance, and the circumstance isn't going to give us hope. We can't get out from underneath the trial, so that doesn't give us hope. So then it leads us to a place of despair. The Baker Encyclopedia gives a good summary of perseverance. It says, perseverance is the ability to take a great deal of punishment from evil people or circumstances without losing one's temper, without becoming irritated and angry, or without taking vengeance. It includes the capacity to bear pain or trials without complaint. Did you guys hear that? Let me read it again. It includes the capacity to bear pain or trials without complaint. The ability to forbear under severe provocation and the self-control which keeps one from acting rashly even though suffering opposition or adversity. Perseverance is remaining firm under tests and trials while maintaining a calmness of spirit or a tranquil mind, even though under severe provocation to lose one's temper. When we persevere according to God's definition, we have the ability to take in or on the pain, the suffering, the chaos, the turmoil, the agitation, the pressure of any trial. And instead, we can take that on when we're truly persevering to the point where God says to persevere too. We can take on all that stuff, and what we give out is peace and kindness and goodness and self-control to others. It's an incredible word. Anybody can endure through heartache in the flesh and limp along and try to press through and get over the obstacles. But nobody can do this in the flesh. You have to have the Spirit of God within you to be able to do something like this. Because once again, you have to have the element of hope and a surety of your salvation and a trust in your God, knowing that He has divinely orchestrated whatever trial has come into your life at that particular time. Perseverance, according to Strong, says in the New Testament, it's the characteristic of a man who has not swerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trials and sufferings. Now, I'm going to go ahead and push pause here for a second. Because I just read to you guys a definition that is amazing. This is something that each one of us is striving towards. Each one of us should be seeing perseverance becoming more and more a reality in our life. What we're talking about here is a process in the making. In other words, this is the outworking of every Christian There will be times when we are weaker in our faith, where you try everything in your power to get out from underneath the trial that God has you in. There will be times when you blindly believe that your battle is actually with people, you know, or it's actually with circumstances. You will actually blindly think that, even though the Word of God says it's not against flesh and blood. That's not where the battle's at. And there will be times where God has to even bring a chastening into our life. Because remember, what God is doing in our life is He is conforming us into the image of Christ. As a matter of fact, He predestined us before the foundations of the world that we would be conformed into the image of His Son. And to be conformed into the image of Christ means that we have to go underneath incredible trials in our life. Because God is weaning us off of the world and onto Himself. God is making us into a person that we have always, that He has always meant us to be. A person who is fully dependent on Him. A person who fully trusts in Him. A person who fully obeys Him. A person who fully loves Him. And even though these things aren't perfect in our life, in the long run, you need to understand that this is what is required of every child of God. Just like forgiveness or extending mercy, Jesus gives us no options. He says, if you don't forgive, my Heavenly Father will not forgive you. We don't have options here. He says if we don't give mercy like He has given mercy to us, if we don't give kindness as He has given to us, He has to deal with those things in the life of His children because He's conforming us into His image. Just like any trial in our life, God has it for our discipline and our training. Remember in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7, it says, "It is for discipline that you endure." The NIV reads it like this, "Endure hardship as discipline." So in other words, that word discipline there, don't get hung up on that word, because it simply means training. It is for training purposes that you endure. The whole reason why the trials are coming is so that you will persevere. That is what God desires from His people. Is that we persevere. That we remain under the trial to let the trial do what God wants it to do to us. And that we are under the trial with a peace in our heart and a hope that is fixed on Him. There's no better place that we can be in this world than in that position. But it's that position that we oftentimes want to get away from. And remember in 1 Peter it says, "But if you do what is right and you suffer for it and you patiently endure it," there it is. This finds favor with God. There's not too many places in Scripture where you read something and it says, this finds favor with God. This is what God is looking for. This is what God is going to praise. When you do what is right and you suffer for it. And you continue to do what's right and you suffer for it. God is saying, that is exactly what I have called you for, to do. Because notice the next verse. For you have been called for this purpose. Since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in His steps. Remember in Hebrews 12, 1 through 3, no wonder it states, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Put the definition of what we just learned about hupomone in that place. How did he endure the cross? He willingly allowed the trial to bear underneath that huge trial. He did it with perfect peace in his heart and perfect hope fixed on the Father. No wonder the night in which he was betrayed, before he broke the bread, it says he gave thanks. Can you imagine giving thanks knowing that the next day that this bread is representing your body and the wine is representing the blood that will soon spill out of you and say, thank you, God, for what you have provided for these people. That's power. The reason why Jesus Christ was so powerful is because he trusted the Father perfectly. And he yielded to the Holy Spirit in his life perfectly. He was the perfect man. Jesus Christ is what we are to be in this world. So no wonder it says that we are to suffer as he suffered, to walk the same path as he walked. So it says, who for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Because it uses the word, for consider him who has endured such hostility, I know for certain from the definition that we just looked at that any time there was hostility given to him, any time there was opposition, any time there was insults, any time there was a flogging, any time there was a scourging, any time there was a nail going into his hand, any time being nailed to the cross, Jesus Christ had a perfect peace and he had hope fixed on the Father and he had no retaliation in his heart. That's why he could say, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing. That's why Stephen could pray for those who were stoning him to death, saying, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That's power. Power is walking in faith with your God, trusting him in every circumstance and trial that comes into your life. Taking him at his word. When the worrying thoughts come into your life, when those anxious thoughts start coming into your life, you take them captive and you say, no, I'm not going there. I'm going to replace that with a truth of what God has said to be true in my life. If you are not engaging in that battle, it's called fighting the good fight of faith, then you're losing. And you're not persevering. The only reason you're doing well is because you've been able to squirm out from underneath the trials that God has for you. Think about the great cloud of witnesses there around us who have endured. Think about Abraham and Sarah. Think about Noah, how Noah endured. The only guy on the face of the earth that's preaching the gospel to people and nobody's listening and he's got to build this boat. Think about Joseph, the life of Joseph and how Joseph endured. And Moses and Job and Elijah and Esther and Jeremiah the prophet and Daniel and John and Mary and Paul and Timothy and Silas and Barnabas. But the greatest example is our pattern to follow and to model after, and that's the person of Jesus Christ. No wonder he said, if you want to be my disciple, you got to pick up your own cross. You got to deny yourself and you got to follow me. He was serious about that. Hupomone, however, is not just displayed in the Bible. It's on display all around us. I don't know if you've ever looked around on Sunday morning in the service. I know it's kind of scary to do it right now. But when you take a look around, do you recognize anyone who has or is going through a trial or a test, but have somehow managed the ability to remain peaceful and humble and seem to only be filled with love and hope? I know people like that in this room. People who have managed to maintain thankful, gracious, and giving hearts, striving with resolve to only rejoice and honor and praise and love and obey God. Just on the top of my head, I wrote out some that I know that are in this room right now. I know of parents who have lost children and dearly loved ones in unjust ways. I know of wives and husbands who have been abandoned by their spouse and rejected. I know of widows and children who have lost parents, and jobless men and barren women, and people who have been rejected by their family and their friends and their co-workers, and those with crippling disabilities and health issues. And all these possess the same common denominator. Hupomone. When you find somebody like that, you want to gravitate towards them. You want to know how they manage the secret of being able to have a peaceful heart even though they've lost the child. Or they never got what they really wanted deep down in their heart, but God is enough. That's power. Really quick, I just want to show you why hupomone is so important. There's a few reasons why. First, we need to hupomone because we need hupomone to receive God's promise. Hebrews 10:36 says, "For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised." So you're saying, Pastor Dan, are you saying that if I don't hupomone, if I don't look at my present trials in my life as though God is giving me this trial, and I'm now, because He's given me this trial, I'm going to say, okay, God, You've given me this trial. I'm going to remain under it, and I'm going to have a peace, and I'm going to keep my eyes fixed on You. If I don't do that, that means that I am not going to receive God's promise? Yeah. Because that's what God's Word says. That's why it's critical that each of us hupomone. Hupomone is important because it's one of the main ingredients in the definition of love. Remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I could have done all sorts of words in this definition for hupomone. Remember the word patient? Patient, kind. It says it's not jealous, does not brag, it's not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, it does not seek its own, is not provoked. Hupomone is not provoked. It does not take into account a wrong suffered. Hupomone doesn't do that. It can't do that. Why? Because the hope is fixed on God, and the peace is already there, and you know the trial is there. God has brought that person into your life to stomp on your toes. You know that that's what God has done. So there's no way that you could get to a point where you're going to take into account their wrong and hold it over them. You're not going to do that if you're persevering the way Scripture says. Verse 7, it bears all things. Love bears all things. What's the definition of hupomone? To bear, under. It believes all things, hopes all things. Remember, that's the ingredient of hupomone, to hope. And it endures all things. Love never fails. You can't love unless you hupomone, unless you are persevering. Also, we need to hupomone. Why? Because we need to, because that's how we bear fruit. Remember, Jesus goes through all the other seeds that are sown behind by the road and on the rocky soil and in the weeds. And remember, it says that they didn't produce any fruit. Remember, the weeds choked the one out, and the other one shot up quickly, but it had no roots. None of them had fruit. Why? Because in Luke chapter 8, verse 15, it says, but the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast, there it is, endurance, and bear fruit with perseverance. Hupomone. That's how we bear fruit. Is to see every trial that comes into our life from the hand of the loving God. And we say, yes, Lord, I am under this and I am going to bear this only because of the Holy Spirit in me. I am going to do this in your strength. I'm going to have a peace in my heart and I'm going to fix my hope on you. You're just going to see fruit all over the place. We need hupomone. Why? Because we need it to be saved. Matthew 10:22, you will be hated by all by my name, but it is the one who has endured to the end who will be saved. Scripture is clear that, but to the one who endures to the end, Luke 21:19, by your endurance you will gain your lives. If we don't hupomone, if we don't persevere the way God is calling His children to, because Jesus persevered and we need to follow after Him, if we choose not to go that way and go the other way, again, Scripture is clear. We need to hupomone. Why? To escape God's wrath and judgment. Revelation 3:10, Jesus says to the church, because you have kept the word of my perseverance, remember Jesus is making it personal now, I will also keep you from the hour of testing, that hour which is about to come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. But also we hupomone because if you want to be blessed, then you have to hupomone. James 1:12 says, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. James 5:10 goes so far as to say, as an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and merciful. You know why? It's to be blessed. A reminder to you, blessing means it is to be in one accord with the Spirit of God. That's the essence of what it means to be blessed. That's why when we throw that phrase out there so much, we kind of trample under it a little bit when we do that. But to be blessed, you can only be blessed when you're in one accord with the Spirit of God. And He will always lead us to hupomone. Here's a couple pictures of hupomone and what it can kind of look like. Hebrews 10:32, the writer is writing to this church, reminding them of the former days when, after being enlightened, you endured a great conflict of sufferings. Remember that, guys? Partly by being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations, and partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one. You see all the ingredients there? These trials that came in, they had a peace even when their property was seized. They weren't running after the people that were taking it from them. They joyfully accepted the seizure of their property because they knew it was from the hand of God, because they have a better possession. That's their hope. And he's urging them, don't throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. Another look at a picture of hupomone is 2 Thessalonians 1:3. It says, we ought always to give thanks to you, to God for you, brethren, as is only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged and the love of each one of you toward one another grows ever greater. Therefore, we ourselves speak proudly of you among the churches of God for your perseverance and faith in the midst of all your persecutions and afflictions which you endure. This is a plain indication that the evil one is getting an upper hand in your life. Is that what it says? No. He says the persecutions and the afflictions which they're enduring is plain indication of God's righteous judgment, so that you will be considered worthy of the kingdom of God. God turns up the fire in those who are on fire for Him, that they might come forth as gold. That's why when you come to Christ, or you're talking to somebody about coming to Christ, you don't say, hey, everything's going to get really easy now. No, you just entered into a battle with your own flesh that you're being asked to crucify. And finally, 2 Timothy 3:10. Paul's encouraging Timothy. He says, Now you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord rescued me. I wouldn't say that being stoned and left for dead necessarily, I would say that God rescued me out of that one. But Paul does. Because he sees that anything that comes into his life, if any rock would hit him, God allowed it for a purpose. And because he had perseverance, he had a peace, and he had his hope fixed on the Lord, and he was able to bear underneath that trial. I'd like to just finish today with a short video clip. A few weeks back, I introduced you to a pastor named Pastor Saeed Abedini. And Pastor Saeed ended up writing a letter to the church as he's been sitting in this jail in Iran. And if you know anything about the story, this couple actually lives in Boise, Idaho, and Pastor Saeed's wife has been talking to the government, asking for help to get her husband released, and President Obama ended up bringing up the name of Saeed to the leader in Iran, and the response was, we'll go ahead and put him into a worse situation, and they put him in one of the worst jails that you could ever imagine, and now he is living amongst rapists and murderers and thieves. And this is the place where you go when they just want to eliminate you. So listen to the words of Pastor Saeed this morning as you reflect upon the word perseverance.